The Law Commission's reviewing the law around who should get a person's property when they die. Historically, New Zealanders tend to leave their wealth to their family, and particularly a surviving partner or children. But when they don't, it can result in court challenges and traumatic family relations, and raises the question, should parents be able to leave children out of their will? The Law Commission's Deputy President Helen McQueen says New Zealand's succession law affects everyone, but it's old and out of date, considering the very many different family makeups of Aotearoa New Zealand in 2021. She's the lead commissioner on the review, which is seeking public consultation. Kia ora, welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine.
As it stands now, what goes to a partner and what else is kind of set in law if you've not been explicit in your will? What does the current law say?
What the current law says is that your relationship property has to be divided between two partners. So we've talked before about how that happens on separation, and what we're looking at now is the situation when a partner dies. So that we suggest that that entitlement to half your relationship property continues. Apart from that, if you don't have a will, the what we call the intestacy rules apply. So that's a default system for how to divvy up property if someone hasn't left a will.
So if you die at the moment, does all of the property go to the partner in the first instance, or did you say half?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. At the moment, we have something called a prescribed amount or a statutory legacy. So that's set at $155,000. So a surviving partner gets that, and then they get a third of the estate, and the remaining two-thirds go to children, if there are children, and then there are a whole bunch of other complicated rules following down from that.
Now, does that happen in the absence of a will?
In the absence of a will. Yes.
If you make a will and do things differently from that presumed division of property, who can challenge it?
Well, we have a couple of key statutes. So the one, the really significant one, is called the Family Protection Act. That's been around for a long, long time. I think its first version was 1908. And in fact, the law doesn't look that different from what it looked like in 1908, but what's happened is that the courts have developed the law over time. So we now have a situation where if you can argue that the testator, the will maker, has breached their moral duty, so that's the duty of a wise and just testator, then a child can make a claim. And the irony is that the most claims we see are by adult children who are actually financially secure.
So this is where this 1908 Act, likely meant to keep children out of
poverty.
Try and keep them out of poverty before we even had a welfare net. This is now being used by middle-aged or older children to challenge a parent's will.
Yes, is
that happening a lot?
Well, those are the cases we see coming through the court system. We have to remember as well that this law affects the way people make wills. A competent lawyer will say, hey, will maker, if you don't take this into account, you're likely to risk a challenge to your will. So that is one of the key issues we're looking at, and really asking, what do New Zealanders think about this? How do they value the right to make a will and leave your property as you wish versus a sense of family obligation?
Are we seeing it also where someone leaves money to charity or to their pets or something, and the kids go, nut, that's mine?
Absolutely, we are.
And so which law applies? If the will has been made, what is it that people are using by means of an argument in court? Do they argue the principles of the intestate division?
No. They're just saying the Family Protection Act, which allows for these claims based on the breach of moral duty, whatever that means, and our poor judges are supposed to work out in a huge variety of situations what a breach of moral duty by a wise and just will maker means. And that's one of our concerns, is that the law is very uncertain, unpredictable. So you can go off to court, but you won't really know what's going to happen, because you're just asking one single judge to substitute their view for what the will maker said. And there can be all sorts of reasons.
Is there no common law that's built up around it?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, but it's essentially uncertain. And one of the concerns the Commission has is that we're not really being transparent about what we're doing here. I mean, why are we doing that? You know, we have one of the important questions that we ask is whether the obligations on death should match the obligations during your lifetime. Now, no 80-year-old parent has a duty to provide for their 60-year-old child. So we are suggesting that only young children, and we've given a few options for ages, 18, 20 or 25, should be able to claim this family provision type claim.
There could be some exceptions for that where there has been dependent care, but one can't imagine, you know, someone who's cared for a dependent adult child suddenly cutting them out of the will.
Well, look, we absolutely know that. There's not a lot of data gathered around this, but certainly anecdotally from lawyers, we absolutely know that parents actually generally care, leave their wealth to their children and particularly support anyone who's dependent.
So next question, this is also based on, you know, one partner and one set of children as being the norm. It's anything but now. So what happens with blended families with these will challenges?
Well, that is absolutely an issue. And it just extends the questions about what obligations you have to stepchildren, what obligations might you have to whangai or foster children, grandchildren. So we're asking about that as well, and we suggest, we're trying to balance things here, so we're suggesting we should limit the claims that can be made to either a surviving partner or those young children up to a prescribed age. And then we are suggesting an extensive definition of children, so accepted children. So that would include, for example, whangai.
Let me throw you a curveball, that an elderly person who perhaps is beginning to have dementia issues or other issues is manipulated by one of the children and the others say, hey, this happened. How do you protect against that?
Well, that's in a different area of the law. So there are absolutely questions about capacity of a will maker, and there are absolutely questions about undue influence or duress, and the law does respond to that. That's not what we're looking at. We are talking about a regime that operates when someone has capacity.
It would not need to be specified in this. It would be dealt with elsewhere.
It wouldn't.
So just to sum up, what changes are you proposing and putting out for discussion?
Well, our critical one is to suggest that adult children should no longer be able to claim against the estate, and as I say, we're proposing that children up to a prescribed age, 18, 20 or 25, should be able to claim, and a surviving partner should be able to claim. And we do appreciate that this is a big change to the law, and we're very keen to hear from New Zealanders and hear what they think about that. And your kind producer is putting the link up to the Law Commission's website on your website, Catherine, and there's a consultation website there that people can engage with.
Just spend it, right? I think I've had this discussion with someone else before. Just spend it and save everybody the hassle.
Well, there's something to that, because, of course, if you spend it, no one can claim that back.
Yes, indeed. It'll be hotly debated and discussed, I imagine. But thank you, Helen, for the explanation. And you can have a look at the Law Submissions proposals and give feedback. The link is going to be on our webpage. Thanks very much to Law Commission's Deputy President, Helen McQueen.